Okay, we're up to Perigimel. Perigimel on page 286. Okay, page 286, Perigimel, Pasuk Aleph. Remember, said page 286, Perigimel, Pasuk Aleph, Shimu Asadav Razesh, Dibra Hashem Aleichem B'nei Yisrael. Listen to the following words that Hashem has spoken. Al Kol HaMishpacha. The following message is direct to every family. Asher Halesi Mi'eretz Mitzrayim Lema, that I have taken up from Eretz Mitzrayim. I have it over here. Also, yeah, I can make it a little better. Sorry. Okay. All right. Okay. A little better now. Okay. Wrap it over here. Okay. Shibu as a davar zeh shadib Hashem aleichem ben Yisrael. Listen to the following words. Al kol hamishpacha. Here we're referring to a mishpacha. It's very interesting that in times of the Chazal that says in times of Mashiach, and even in original times, the Goyim will no longer be called nations. Goyim, they'll be called Mishpachois. The nations of the world will be reduced from a nation to just families. Okay, there's such a Chazal. And it's based upon the Pasuk, but here we are referring to Klal Yisrael. And it is very interesting that here we're calling Klal Yisrael Al kol ha-mishpacha asher heleitzi mi-eretz Mitzrayim le-mar. So I think there's a little hidden message here. Based upon that chazal, which I cannot at this moment quote for you chapter and verse, but there's a chazal that says that the nations of the world will be reduced to nothing more than mishpachos. Here, Klal Yisrael is gone in the reverse order. We started out in Egypt as 70 souls, just the family of Klal Yisrael. What's wrong? Uh-huh. We started on Klal Yisrael just as a family. 70 neshamas that went down to Mitzrayim, and from that 70, nefashos, we turned into the Am HaNivchar, not just the nation, but the chosen nation. Whereas the Umay Sa'olam, they started out as nations. From the time of Noach, after Noach, Shem, Cham, and Yefes, they came out of the Teva, and they spread out. And they very quickly conquered the world, his descendants, and they formed nations. And those nations grew by the time that Avraham Avinu came along, the time Klal Yisrael went down to Mitzrayim, the world was taken over by nations, Amim, 70 nations. So yet the 70 nations will be reduced to nothing more than 70 families. So look at the reversal. Here we started out as the Mishpacha, and we become the Am HaNifar, whereas the Umay Sa'olam start out as nations, and they will be reduced to nothing more than families. This pasuk is coming to emphasize our humble beginnings. Our humble beginning was we were nothing more than the family, Yaakov Avinu's family. Hashem together, Asher Halesi Mi'eretz Mitzrayim Le'emor, even though there were 3 million people, look, it's really very interesting, there were 3 million people, 600,000 men, adult men, which according to our calculation comes out to be 3 million people. For every man, there's at least one woman, and that's only over the age of 20. So what about the of children? So that's 1.2 million. And then you take into calculation normal population growth, so when you're dealing with everyone below the age of 20, it comes out to approximately 2.5 million to 3 million. Of Moshe has a calculation that it's approximately somewhere between 2.5 million and 3 million. And he uses that, in fact, to define what is called a Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa. In the Midbar, they encamped in the area of Yud Beis Mil. And if there were 600,000 men from 20 and older, so there has to be a woman for each man, that's 1.2 million, then plus the children, everything below that, men and women, to approximately 2.5 million in the area that has Yud Beis Mil and has living in that area 2.5 million, and Rav Moshe finds his opinion, is called the Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa. Okay, but in any event, over here, it's what's interesting is that 2.5 million people, we were still called nothing more than a mishpacha. Mishpacha, one big family. Welcome to the family. But we know that we're not no longer a family. We're called, V'atem tiyuli mamleches koyhanim v'goy kodosh. at Matan Torah, Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, no longer you just called the family, you're now going to be called the Mameleches Koyhanim, a kingdom of priests, the Goy Kadosh, a nation, a holy nation. So we're no longer just a family, we have become a nation. Can contrast that to the Umos Olam, where it says about them, we even mentioned this pasuk in Davening, in the Pesuk of the Zimmer, I think on Shabbos, I forgot which pasuk it is, but pay close attention, there's a pasuk that refers to the Mishpachos Huamim. Okay, now let's see pasuk Beis, Rak Eschem Yodati, Hashem goes on to say, only you I know, Mikol Mishpachos Huadama, it is only you who I know. Klal Yisrael, you are the people that I know, I understand. The word Yodati, we know, means to be connected. The Adam Yoda es Chava Ishtoi. Adam was connected to Chava, his wife. So here it says the same expression, Yoda.
Are you talking
about the Yivro? Yeah, that's it. Havu Lashem Mishpachos Amim. The Mishpachos, the families of the nation. Of the nation, but there it's also called, they still call it Amim, nation. There's another passage which says even more, and this is even more explicit, that
there's
says.
Another passage there with
Mishpacha
in it.
You have to be right. This is, I think, a very explicit passage that calls them, they're reduced from nations to families. Okay, whatever. Now here it says, Rak Eschem Yodati, Mikol Mishpacha Yisadam, and only you that I know. Again, the word Yodati means Mechubar, connected. The Adam Yoda Eschav Ishtoi, a connection. Here is the same idea. It is only you, Klal Yisrael, who I have known, I have connected with. Mikol, from all the Mishpachos who are the mom, Al came therefore, because I love you so much, I'm connected to you, I want you to improve, I cannot tolerate your sins. Efkoid Aleichem Eskol Avoino Sechem, I have no choice but to visit upon you your sins, in other words, to punish you for your sins, to improve you. Since I know you and we are so close, I cannot tolerate when you do something that is not correct. Let's see these two sukkim in the Farshim with the Mitzudos David, Pasuk Perigil, Pasuk Aleph. The Mitzudos David begins, Al Kol HaMishpacha, Kofal Adav Miloshoines. We have poetic repetition. Hine. What is the poetic repetition? Kiloshem Mishpacha Yoimar Al Kol Ha'om. Okay, I told you the drush. He's just telling you the pshat that a mishpacha is another term that it's used to refer to a nation. V'chein v'yem mishpachas Mitzrayim and Zechariah of the family of Egypt. Pasuk Beis Rakeschem Yodati Levad Eschem Ahavti Mikol Umais. He translates the word Yodati to mean I love. So obviously the word Das has many meanings. The Eitz Hadas Toivara. What does that mean? The Eitz of Das. The Eitz of Das, Toivara. That means the connection. Is that what it means? So I told you, the Odom Yoda Eschava Ishtoi. He was connected to her. Eitz Hadas, Toivara doesn't just mean it's the knowledge. I have knowledge of Toiv and Ra. It is a tree that brings confusion. In life, we all know, it's very difficult to discern what is good and what is not good. There are many things that people present. The world, the Yetzer Hara, or the world, presents in front of us many things. And it says, buy this product. Embrace this idea. Let this become part of your life. And we always stand back and question ourselves, is this good for us? Or is this harmful for us? Should we introduce this new concept into our life? It's very difficult. We don't know. It's a very big dilemma. Why is it such a big dilemma? Because there's both together. In every single thing, there's always a chibur, a connection between toiv and ra, and the nesoyin is to use every tool, an opportunity for good, and don't let it be a stumbling block for Ra. Why is it such a big Nisayon? Because it's mixed together. Everything in this world is a taruvus. It's mixed together. Everyone will tell you technology. Technology can be the greatest tool to advance Kivayit Shemayim. But technology can be the greatest tool to destroy the world, to bring into this world the greatest harm, the greatest pain and suffering. Why everything in this world today is a taruvus of toiv v'ra. That's what the Eitz Hadas is. It's not just this knowledge. Oh, this toiv and this ra. It's das, it's chibur. There's an eitz which das connects toivara, and that's very dangerous. When you have something which you don't know what it is, you really do not know is it toivara, and you have to and you take it in your hands and you deal with it, you're putting yourself at risk. It's not a simple matter. If something is clearly labeled toiv, and if something is clearly a ra, then it's very easy. This is good, this is evil. You know how to protect yourself. Okay, but here, that's not what he's teaching. He's teaching the other word, yadati, to mean love.
Oh, like last week's pasha.
What was this part? What?
Before he informed
him. Ato yadati ki reo lekemata.
No. Okay. Before he informed them about the Sodom,
yes, ki yidativ, beautiful, yeah. Very good. Ki yidativ leman asher yitzave es banov achrav lishmor es derech Hashem. Beautiful, very good. Stushtel. Hashem said about Avraham Avinu, ki I know him. So what does mean I know him? So you can learn simply like it says, Adam yodal chav yishto, I'm connected to him, or yodal loshen chiba, I love him. Ki yidativ. Here the Mitzudo says that the word ki yidati means to love. Rak eschem yadati, levad eschem ohavti. Okay, could not be more explicit. Look at the Mitzudo Sion. He says, yadati inyan ahava, v'chein mo odom vatei do'ei. What is man that we should love him? Say, so in that context, it means love here as well, it means love. V'atem peshat and biluchin, therefore eskar lechem eskar v'doseichem, l'sham gmul al-kul, if I'm going to punish you for all of your sins. Okay, the nastiest, as everyone knows, we always say that the nastiest, disputes in life are divorce. Okay, divorce lawyer deals with the ugliest side of a human being. Why is it by divorce it's so ugly? Because the expectations were so high. Every marriage starts off with love, and when there's love, there's a very great expectation. When that love goes sour, it turns into the ultimate hate. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since He loves us so much, when we betray Him, we don't do His mitzvahs, the pain is that much greater. Hashem has no choice but to correct us by visiting upon us. Kol avoynoy seichem. Hashem says all of your sins. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Rashi, pasik, aleph, and beis. Pasik beis, rak, eschem yadati, ahavti. Same idea, I love. V'atem peshat and bi'alkin, therefore. V'raboseinu dorshu letzad acher. B'mesech levod zara. We'll see that over here on the bottom of the page. L'kudei shas. And we'll see that in a few moments. We'll get there in a few moments. What is the drush of this pasik? Let's first go through the Shukashol Mikro before we get to the Medrash. Radak, page 287. Radak, Pasuk Aleph. Shimu HaMishpacha. HaGoy Kula Mikro Mishpacha. Okay, this idea that I mentioned, that a Goy is called the family. V'chein, v'im, mishpachas, mitzrayim, lo saleh, asher ha'lesi, ha'lesi, avoseichem. Nations are called, again, in Umois, ha'olam, are called nothing more than a family. Because they really, because what bonds, what makes a nation, what separates one nation from another nation? It's an ideology. An ideology in what they believe in. They believe in Hashem, they believe in themselves, they believe in pagan gods. It's the idea. They believe in nothing. Okay, that is what unites a culture.
Language and borders.
Say that again. Culture,
language borders.
And borders. And what about money? Money? I remember many, many years ago when the EU, my father was an economist, and when the EU was formed, how many years? It was a long time ago. So my father was telling me, it doesn't make one bit of sense. There is no way this European Union, where they basically, what was it? It was just all of the economies of all of these nations. How many nations are in the EU today? I don't know.
20.
And when they all merged, basically they have one currency, one economy to a certain degree. And it's going to be like the United States. There are states and there's a federal government, so it's going to be one big economy. And my father was baffled. He said, "There's no way in the world this can be sustained. Their economies are so different from one another. Money is the root of all evil." Akesef yana esakol. And my father was right. The whole thing today is breaking apart. Look at the UK and other nations now are talking about leaving. So economy is also, you tell me that it's culture, language, and borders, anything else?
Traditions.
Traditions.
I'm quoting.
quoting, it's a wonder to me why whoever analyzed this did not include in this analysis of what brings a nation together is their economy. I mean, it's really, isn't that really where it's all at?
Well, that may be a subset of the culture.
Culture? I wouldn't say that.
Yeah,
culture.
Quality of life.
Yeah, but where are you getting your income? Where do you make a living? That's where it's all at.
One country is middle class, and the other place is poor. It's very poor. It's very hard to make this.
Okay, so you want to say that the economy is part of culture? All right, fine, whatever it is. But here it's saying over here, Chazal are super analyzing this idea. That's not so. Chazal is saying the truth is God. There's nothing to them. There's only a Ribbono Shel Olam. If you don't believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam, That's not on your agenda, then all of these things don't really bring you together. They don't. It's not significant. Your culture, your language, where you live, the borders, your economy. Ultimately, you're going to separate. You're going to disperse because the only thing that counts at the end of the day is the Ribbono Shel Olam. If you are in denial of Hashem, if you are rebelling against Hashem, then all of these things, the glue is not strong enough to keep you together. What will you ultimately be reduced to? Families, tribes, yeah. like in the Afghanistan.
Like Africa?
Just tribes, yeah. and it's the survival of the fittest. It's all it's going to be reduced to. So we think that in the Western culture is advanced. Maybe in Africa and Afghanistan, maybe they're more advanced because they live mamish ad hayoyim hazeh, a culture of mishpachos. Okay, like you're just Africa. There are no nations in Africa. They're just tribes.
Right.
It's all a show. You'll tell me that there's someone that sits in the United Nations.
Same in the Middle East because the borders were drawn by the European artificial borders. And so you see these different ethnic groups.
The Sunnis, the Shiites, it's just mishpachos, branches of families. And nothing really can keep them together because what keeps you together is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, I think there's something very powerful going on over here in this just one word describing the Umayis Olam. Let's go further in the Radak. Next words of the Radak, Rak Eschem, only you. Who's only you? Lefish Yodat, Pasuk Beis, Radak, page 27, Rak Eschem, Lefish Yodat, Shiodat, Yeschem, Lubacharitim, Bechem, Bicholam. I know you, and I've selected you. Lefichach, Efkod Alechem, Eskola, Avonosechem, Shatem, Isem, Bidatem, Eskola, Oisosai, Moisai, Shasisi, Lechem, Meitavti, Lechem. You should know better. Lefichach, Hadin, Hu, Shefkod Alechem, Eskola, Avonosechem. Therefore, you will be punished. Kian Melech, here we go, turn the page 289, the top. Kian Melech, Yichoyz, Al Avodav, Oimdim, Lefonav, Im Yavru, Mitzvoysav. When you live in the palace and you misbehave, you get a frask. Yoysem, Imash, Yichas, Al Achirim, Harchokim, Imenu, much more so than people who live far away. The king does not see them, does not know from them. They can get away with misbehaving because they're not under the scrutiny of the palace. Ki mishpachos hagoyim einenu choshesh aleihem im yetivu oy yoreyu. Hashem does not really pay attention to them if they're good or they're bad. El im yechomos gadol kedor hamabol. This goes back to what we discussed in the past. I do not remember this was the Radak or other mafarash. I think it was the Radak. The Radak's opinion is that the hashkacha pratis on the umos olam is less. Hashem less than do what they want unless they do something outrageous. If they just do minor indiscretions, Hashem is willing to overlook and not pay attention, allow them to operate according to their mazel. If they do something outrageous of chomos, violence, theft, then k'der mavul k'mos shepirashnu l'mayel, like we learned before in Perek Aleph Pasuk Gimel. Aval Yisrael l'fishayim k'rovim elai, they're close to me. They know better. I've been kind to them. I've done for them miracles. They should know better. They're living in the palace. They're living with my divine protection. If they misbehave, the consequences are very great. Ani shem al avoinim k'mo sh'amar b'kroivai e'kodesh. Hu asher dibar Hashem b'kroivai e'kodesh. Those that are near me, I will be sanctified. Hashem is medachtik im tzadikim k'chut hasara. K'mo sh'pirashnu v'arusein zal b'posik v'sviv v'chud nish'ara ma'od. The word nish'ara there, nish'ara means there's a wind. But chazal darshin the word Sa'ara, wind, is a tempest, is a reference to a Se'or, a here. V'chein Amru Rabbi Sein Zal, Shani Goyim Deloy Mifkad Dina Alayhu, Goyim are different, Hashem does not punish them. V'sefer Yechezkel Pasik V'oyle Al Ruchachem L'hoyo L'osia, Hayrachnu B'Zeinyin. That was a very beautiful Pasik. We elaborated there on that theme over there. Fine, we'll leave it with that.
As a
okay.
Whole? As a...
Shalom Aleichem. Worry about you, seeing you in 2 days.
Hmm?
We missed you on Thursday and Friday. Okay, yes.
Something very fundamental.
Yes.
As a whole?
Yes.
Or even as an individual?
So there are different opinions. It's not so clear.
I know.
Right, it's not so clear. But he's saying over here that the Ummah Yisraelim, the level of hashkocha pratis, hashkocha, and punishment, gvul, schar ve'oinesh, is much, much more limited than by Klal Yisrael. Mm. Unless they do something that's totally outrageous that we mentioned before. Let's see the Malbim. The Malbim, Pasik Aleph and Bey, Shimu, Asher, Elis, Mirat, Shem, Ayide, Kein, Kanisi, Yeschem, Lechelki. Shalotiyu, Utachas, Asodim, Hal, Yoinim, Umarechas, Hashemayim. Ein Mazol, Li, Yisrael. That's the principle over here. Kiyash, Lechosi, Devuka, Bochem, Vyayide, Kein. The Malbim. Malbim, page 2, back on page 27. Okay, so the here one is over here. I've taken you, he learned Shad in this Pasik. I've taken you out of Mitzrayim means all the nations are subject to their mazel. Klal Yisrael ein mazel li Yisrael. We are in the direct hashgacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything is mida kineged mida. Pasuk base. Rakes chem yedat michol l'mishpoch ha'adama. Lo nimsa b'shpach ha'cheres min ha'adama. Shetia yidiyasi ha'shgachasi devuka b'bam kilmoichem. There is no one in the world that is subject to such intense hashgacha pratis, ki kulam nisun takas sidrei ha'teva, like we just said, v'han hogas v'hashamayim, on their mazel, and whatever was meant to be for them. Al kein inim mitzuvim al hashituf. Now he's going over here, the Malbim is going over here into Christianity. Therefore, there is no violation, there is nothing wrong with them for shituf. If they look at a human being to being a partner, his father, they believe that a person they worship Hashem, they believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam, but they also believe that there's a human being in this world that's a god. Okay, he's clearly referring to a sheet of his Christianity, that Yashka is a god, but they also worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then, K'moshe Kosov Asher Cholk Hashem L'chech Vosam L'chol Am Tachas Kol HaShemayim, Hashem gave them, he's saying something extremely controversial, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given them permission to embrace these types of religions of Shituf. But the Eschem Lokach Hashem L'vayotzi Eschem Yikur HaBarzel, we are different, we are not permitted to engage in such activity, and therefore, back to, now we go to, we turn the page to page 288, Mimitzrayim L'yoyis Lo L'am Nachla, Al-Kein Efkwet Alechem Mitzkolav Nesichem, Achashatem Mitzudim Al-Yichud, V'shloy L'shatev Im Avodasi Avodas Nechor V'lechem Nidna Hattar U'mitzvahs. Now notice over here, the Malbim over here is saying that he's focusing specifically on the Avodah Zarah called Shituf. It's very unique because normally when we learn all these Pesukim Nach, when we refer to Avodah Zarah, it's not Shituf. It's a rejection of Hashem. Where there is Hashem, not Hashem, Hashem is not in the picture. Hashem, either Chas V'Sholom, they don't believe in Hashem, they believe in the sun, the moon, they believe in other deities, or, yeah, there is a Ribbono Shel Olam, but he is irrelevant. Now there is someone else, there's something else which is relevant. Shituf is where Hashem is very relevant. Okay, Christians believe in Ribbono Shel Olam. That's a very great, that's a very positive advancement for human.
They don't pray to God, they pray to Yashka.
They hear both.
Well,
we got to go get a course.
Sure, Trinity. Trinity. Yeah.
Holy Ghost.
Whatever that means,
okay?
Halloween is
God, Yashka, and the Holy Ghost. Whatever that means.
Halloween is coming.
But listen, I know nothing about this. I really, really know nothing about this, Baruch Hashem. But it does appear from what I pick up is that in Christianity, the Ribbono Shel Olam is a very important part of the equation. Very important. Very important, if not the most important.
Very soft on Christianity.
What?
For Christians, he's very, very soft.
Very soft. Well, the Rambam was also very soft on Christianity. The Rambam to a degree praised that you know, it's an advancement for civilization. That they should have a real belief in the Ribbono Shel Olam is a very big bracha for this world. That's, you know, and you have to understand, where is Christianity? This is Esav. Esav is the child of Avraham and Yitzchak. So, I mean, that what do you expect? Avraham Avinu brought into the world monotheism. So what do you expect, yeah?
The original founders, followers,
were Jews. Mistaken Jews. What? Yes, they are. Yes, Jews are not allowed to engage in Shituf. Clearly, that's exactly what the Bible just said. Cholak eschemi kolam. Hashem allowed the Umay Salem to slip, to slip into this false belief. But loikein atem. But Klal Yisrael is not permitted to engage in this nonsense. There is only one Ribbono Shel Olam. So even though the ones who are the founders of Christianity were Jews, Yashka was Jewish. You know, he was the real deal, Yashka. He was Jewish. Let's not make any mistake about that. But the bottom line is, this is Avoda Zara for us. And he's going to be very soft on the Umay Salam. And it's interesting why he says this is the issue. Why don't we focus on the more common form of idolatry, which appears to be the complete rejection of the Ribbono Shel Olam, or to take the Ribbono Shel Olam and declare him irrelevant and give full focus and attention to another deity, Baal, or all these other, this collection of idols, whatever they are. It appears those idols, they have nothing to do with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Here he's focusing on the more modern times. Modern times, in the Western civilization, it's all about Yashka, and Yashka is not just Yashka, he's a shutuf. He's a partner with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So there is a recognition in God we trust. It's a Christian country. On every dollar bill and every penny, it says in God we trust. It doesn't say in Yashka, anything about Yashka. So obviously the Ribbono Shel Olam is a very significant part of the equation, which is a very big blessing for the world, that at least there is a Hakara, that is a Ribbono Shel Olam. It's unfortunate that they're not able to connect solely to Hashem, and they need to be mishtatit to Kadosh Baruch Hu, this nonsense of a person that tells them, trust me, God came to me and told me what to do. It's very unfortunate, okay?
So
do
you believe in Christianity, in verse, whatever it is?
Touched upon, no, so according to what the Malm said, yes. According to the Malm, yes, he's Mamish and Oyvr of Zara, and he's Chayiv Misa, that's Yashka. Okay, he's a meisis umadiach. A person
if
goes
it's the same person.
In person. So yes, he is oiver on avodah zarah for a Jew. A Jew. If a guy is a believer, is he chayiv misa? Is he in the violation of the sheva mitzvahs b'nei noyach? According to what the Malbim seems to say, no. The Rambam also seems to say
right.
No. And other rishonim seem to disagree. This is an age-old machloikis. If a guy is a Christian, are they in violation of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noyach? The Malm here is going soft on them, and is in fact reading that into the Pasuk. Okay, let's go further.
When the principles of Kapala were first expounded, and the Sviros were listed and explained as emanations from the Punishable, a lot of people didn't believe it. Just for this reason, that it was considered like the Trinity.
Avodah Zarah. The Kabbalah, in Yoni Kabbalah, right?
The spheres that you attribute to God.
It's right.
The original founders of Christianity didn't believe in his, supernatural capabilities. It wasn't until the Gospels of Matthew and Luke that they, a couple of hundred years later,
evolved.
Originally he was just a normal person who died.
Oh, yeah.
They even know.
Following.
I read recently they know definitively that what Christianity evolved over hundreds of years, and one of the people that and the emissaries, most of the what happened, we don't even know it's been destroyed by them. They destroyed their own history because they knew how it corrupt. But they have evidence that the person that they called Yashka, the second or the third, it's for sure more than one. There's more than one Yashka, that's for sure. There were a few of them, but one of them that they focus on, they know now almost as a fact that he was married and had children.
Really?
And had children. So, yeah, so there's a lot of make-believe, there's a lot of research, there's a lot of very, whatever it is, it is. Let's go weiter. Let us continue. This is... Okay, so this is the Malbim. Now we go to, let's take a look at the Mincha Gedoyla. The Mincha Gedoyla, Pasuk Ali. Now this really goes all the way into almost the entire parak, Aleph Zayin. But let's at least take a look at the beginning of the Mincha Gedoyla. Okay, on page 287. The Mincha, it's on the right side in the middle. Shimu es hadavar hazeh. Mayreinu harav Rabbi Yitzchak Abarbanel Zal. He says the following. He always likes to quote the Abarbanel. Acharei shezochar hanavi lamal lepishrech umos v'onshem. He's coming to give some context. Last two parakim. What did we learn in the last two parakim? Well, Perek Aleph focused on the sins of six nations. And then we focused on the sins of Klal Yisrael. We broke up Klal Yisrael into two parts. The Malchus of Yisrael, first Yehuda, and then the Malchus of Yisrael. So after the Navi Amos focused on the sins of the nations, the six nations, the Anshehem, Hoytze Mehen Kan, Limudu To'ona Rabba Keneged B'nei Yisrael, V'chol Alimoyim B'nei Yehuda, L'shtatev Shneyem B'toras Hashem V'hashko Chosso Hol Yoyna. Now, in this parak, he's joining together Yehuda and Yisrael, and he's coming to complain to them by using the Umos Oilam as a wedge. What do we mean? He's now speaking to Bnei Yisrael, which really includes, he said before, Yehuda. Shimu. Okay, fine, let's see over here. Okay. Shimu es hadavar hazeh asher dibra Hashem aleichem bnei Yisrael v'lo levad aleichem aval gam al kol ha-mishpach asher aleisi meret Yisrael kol eile shiftei Yisrael shnei mosar shimu oisoi. Listen to the following message, the entire Klal Yisrael. V'yadav asher dibra aleichem hu amro yisparach rak eschem yodati kloima. What does he mean to say? Hine sh'or hu mois eini mashkech b'chem hashkoch ha-pratis. Similar to the Radak, the Umois Oilam are not subject to Hashkocha Pratis. Therefore, they get away with a lot. They commit crimes, they cause problems, they cause pain, and nothing happens to them. Avol, but you, Klal Yisrael, we have to turn on page 289 towards the bottom. Eschem Yodati beHashkocha Pratis. VeHashkochasi b'chem yosim mikol mishpachos v'adama. Therefore, because I am so medactic with you, and every single action that you do as a consequence, I'm going to punish you for every single little sin. Shabbat, I will gaze, v'yashkiach, and I'll pay attention, gam kein b'chol avoynoy seichem. V'yal kein d'yifur efkar alechem is kol p'prote avoynoy seichem, yoysem mibishor ha'umoyz. The reason why I'll punish you is because I am connected to you. I am aware of you. I love you. Unlike the Umos Olam, which I don't care for, it goes hand in hand. I don't care for them. I don't pay attention. I let them get away with a lot of averos. Do not be misled. Do not be influenced by the Umos Olam, just like they get away with doing averos. We will get away with doing averos. This, by far, is the greatest nisoyon of galus. If you ask the average person, what is the nisoyon of living in galus? You know what they'll tell you? It's because we will be influenced after their evil ways. If the goyim enjoy this type of entertainment, so we also have a right to enjoy this type of entertainment. If the goyim steal, we also can steal. If the goyim have chutzpah, we also have chutzpah. The way the midos rois and the hanhogos rois of the goyim affect us, influence us. This is absolutely true, 100%. But you know something that's not the ikar, that's not the main danger of living in galus? Because that, you know, we can shelter ourselves. We can live in a ghetto. We can have our own yeshivas, our own shiurim. To a degree, we can be reminded day in and day out, you're not allowed to steal. You're not allowed to speak lashon hara. You're not allowed to do all of these things that we see the goyim do. We can remind ourselves daily not to behave like the goyim. So what then is the greatest danger? We look at the goyim and we witness them do averos daily and nothing happens to them. They get away with it. They live long lives. They're happy. They succeed. And even though they've committed the worst, most horrible crimes, and behind closed doors they do things that are not proper, we don't see divine retribution. So we say to ourselves, so, you know what? As long as we don't get caught, as long as we don't go too far in our evil ways, behind closed doors, or we can just cover it up nicely, we also will get away with living a life that's not ideal. That is the greatest danger. It's not so. The Goyim get away with it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care about them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashkacha for them is not significant. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, He cares about us, He guides us, and therefore we will not get away with our averas. If we do an avera, we will be punished at some point in time. Maybe not today, maybe not next year, but there will be a day of reckoning. A day of reckoning. What?
The Rishonim
will be paid back for big things. For the big things. For the Holocaust, for the Crusades.
For the things they do to us.
Big things that they do. Right, what they do to us. Very good. What they do to us. And even what they do to themselves. If it's something that's very, very significant. But for petty things, small little things, they took a little Lashon Hara. They steal a few dollars, they chew on their taxes. You know, they do things.
But they're also commanded.
So he's saying that's exactly...
You're going to be punished one of these days.
Those, so the Radak is saying that this is a chiddush. They do have eros. Kimege, the Sheva, Mitzvah, Noach. Hashem doesn't punish them. Hashem is
Michael. Right away.
No, ultimately, no. That's not what the Radak... Yeah. The Radak is saying, and over here the Michidol is saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to hold them accountable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to overlook big things. Big things, no. And what they do to us, harm they cause us, no. But amongst themselves, so they cheat on their taxes. So they cheat on their taxes. So is there going to happen? They also wonder they're going to lose.
Do Jews see divine retribution?
Amongst ourselves?
Do we see it?
Well, it depends on our madrega. A person is very sensitive, that definitely sees retribution. Definitely. There are many tzaddikim that throughout their lives they make cheshbonos and they can map. You know why this happened to me? Because 30 years ago, I sense, no one knows for sure anything, but the more sensitive a person is to his neshama, the more he can sense midah keneged midah. Goyim do not have this. They have a little bit of it, but nothing like what we have. The greatest danger of living in Golus is to become desensitized to Nida Kineged Nida. If nothing happens to the Goyim when they do Averos amongst themselves, nothing happens, so why should something happen to us if we do an Avera, Ben Adam La Chaver, Ben Adam La Makam, as long as it doesn't make the front cover of the New York Times? I could understand if we machal shem Hashem berabim, we pull off some major scandal, okay, then maybe I could understand Hashem is going to bring upon us divine retribution, like we see Hashem brings to the goyim also divine retribution for big things. But for small things that we consider petty, big deal, Hashem is all forgiving. Hashem is all forgiving. Look, the whole world continues. Nothing happens. Everyone, the world goes on. Every day, everyone is successful. Everyone succeeds. This is the greatest danger of Golus, not to be makir, that there is sechar v'oinesh, there is midah keneged midah, Hashem is nemon l'shalem gimol to klal Yisrael. It's amazing. This is a minch gedol is saying over here something that is so, so fundamental to the dangers of Golus. What are we doing in Golus? If we were living in Eretz Yisrael, there, we're not affected. There, it's the land. Asher any Hashem lokecha doyresh oisa meireshes hashana ad achreshana. It's a makom of hashgacha pratis. And in fact, the Ramban says that's one of the most fundamental differences between living in Eretz Yisrael and living in Chutz Liaretz. When you live in Eretz Yisrael, it is easy to see the midah keneged midah. In Golus, it's much more difficult. But not only is it difficult, the Mincha Gedol is adding a new dimension. It's very easy to become desensitized entirely from midah keneged midah, because the goyim, there is no midah keneged midah in regard to small, petty things. That's what it says.
Even big things, Rabbi. What's happened to... Where's Germany is prospering today? Whatever happened to them?
These are questions I don't have answers.
That's what I'm saying.
I hear what you're saying, but Hashem is Neman. Hashem is... I don't know. There's a lot of questions you can ask, but it is what it is. It is what it is. I don't have an answer. You're asking a good question. You're asking a very good question. I don't have an answer.
I mean, till today, people wouldn't necessarily see more...
It's Ramban says. Now, people say this all the time. Someone who lives will tell you this to be true. In Eretz Yisrael, there's a sense. It's natural. There's a natural sense. It's accelerated. The Ramban's words are, it's accelerated. If a person, everything is midah keneged midah. But in Chutz Li'aretz, time operates on a different level. It's slow motion. So by the time the Ribbono Shel Olam gets around to executing midah keneged midah, it can take 20 years, you'll never have a chance in your mind to connect the dots. In Eretz Yisrael, you do an avera today, tomorrow you're going to be punished. Or next week. So right away, it's fresh in your mind, you're able to connect the dots. That people tell you, holy people in Eretz Yisrael, they can say, yes, there is definitely a sense, there's an acceleration of midah keneged midah in Eretz Yisrael relative to Chutz Li'aretz. That's the Kedush Shas Aretz. That's why, you know, it's not so simple to live in Eretz Yisrael. Not everyone is ready to live in Eretz Yisrael. Like we mentioned all the time, you're living in the Palatin Shel Melech. When you live in Eretz Yisrael, you got to be on your best behavior. Even if you live in Eretz Yisrael, you know, it's Ein Adam living in Beis Shemesh to living in Yerushalayim. And Ein Adam living in Yerushalayim to living in the Old City. You know, people that live in the Old City, you know, besides the fact that the apartment costs there $5, $10 million for an apartment in the Old City, but, you know, would you want to live in the Old City? I don't think I'd want to live in the Old City. I don't think I could handle it. I don't think I can be in my best behavior. You got to be on your best behavior 24/7. It's a challenge. It's a real challenge. There's no time out. You got to be on your best behavior. You live in the Old City. You live in Yerushalayim. You got to also be Eretz. You live in Eretz Yisrael. You live in America. Okay, listen. You know, everyone. You chayef in the Kol Torah Kula, but the intensity of what is expected from you is not the same as if you're living in Admas Kodesh. Okay, let's go further. Further in the Mincha Gedolah. This is the danger. Let's read. Start from the words. 1, 2, 3, 4 lines down. Page 289. 4 lines down in the Mincha Gedolah. V'alkein efkod aleichem is called prote avonoseichem yosim b'bishar humos ki apikido timoshech achar hayidiva hashgacha. The punishment depends upon the relationship. The closer you are to another person, the more you expect from them. When they betray you, there is more pain. There is more pain. There is going to be more greater consequences for that pain. Do not be fooled to think that you're not going to receive punishment. Now, period. He's not just going to say pshat in the past, because the Klal Yisrael is broken down into two parts. There is Yehuda, and there is Yisrael. Now he's jumping ahead now to the next pasuk, pasuk gimel. Okay, he's jumping now to the next pasuk gimel. Hayelchu shenayim yachta bilti im noyadu. Can two people walk together and not be aware? Hayelchu shnayim yachta bilti loy noyadu. What does this mean? According to the Mech Gedolah, Ritzayna Loimar, Hoim Evesher Shashnei Hamalchuyoy Soele. The shnayim is a code word for the two parts of Klal Yisrael, Yehuda and Yisrael. Holchu Yachad Bederech Avoda Zora Umius HaTorah. Can they both continue their detestable behavior of rejecting the Torah? Ella shenoy adu the yeskimu beinechem laavor al das. Noadu means but and they noadu means avad. Avad means a meeting. A meeting, they come together. What are they coming together to create a new ideology where they worship a pagan god? The yeskimu B'shneim b'neim la'avor al das, ki b'emes b'maseim hara mihem maskimim ze lo ze kilu no'adu, as if they have come together and met and agreed to do something. V'acha sheheim no'adu yachal laso yisra b'enei Hashem, being that now they have come together, they have agreed to go in the wrong way. Gam ho'evim yivadu yachal lovo yaleim l'tarfam, it's going to be midah k'neged midah. The nations will form alliances and join together to punish us. The Ramaz Bezel Sancheriv, Shehechriv es Ashvatim, Ulubuchanetza, Shehechriv es Yehuda, the Al, we turn now to the next page on page 291. The Al is going through the entire parak. Dalshnim Omar, Hayishag, Ari, Bayar, below Yinatzlu, Kashalo Yinatzla, Tzibo, Behamefech, Babach. If the lion roars, then the birds fall from the sky. V'yamar yiktok Hashem be'ir hine oz intiyer ro be'ir rosh neimar Hashem lo yasa oisa hara avol sha'am osam la'atzmam, that when the enemy comes to destroy Klal Yisrael, don't blame Hashem, blame yourself. You have rejected Hashem. Kevin Hashem lo yasa davar kim gola soide la'avodav ha'nevim v'hizriyam v'heim lo nisar dam b'reisham. Hashem warned you. Hashem sent the prophets to warn you to behave, to correct your ways. You've chosen to reject the prophets, and therefore you have no one to blame but yourself when the enemy comes to bring forth punishment. Adkan, Taref Devarav. This is the parish of the Abar Binel. Okay, so over here, what he's telling us over here is, let's review what we learned over here, the Abar Binel's parish. What he's telling us over here is that we're referring to both referring to two parts of Klal Yisrael. Each one, they were at war with one another. The Aseres HaShvatim and Yehudim Yamin. However, they do have one thing in common. What do they have in common? They both together have rejected the Ribbono Shel Olam. Therefore, Mida Keneged Mida, the Umay Olam, 70 nations, they have nothing common with one another. In fact, they're at war with one another. Throughout history, the nations of the world are fighting one against the other. But something's going to happen at the end of days. They're going to join together to do what? To go to war against Klal Yisrael. Why? Why would the Umay Yisrael have nothing to do with one another, want to join together? Nida keneged nida. Klal Yisrael, there are two parts to you. Yehuda and Yisrael. You have nothing to do with one another. You hate each other. You fight with each other. You rebelled, one rebelled against the other. But you did agree, you did come together, you were on the same page to reject Hashem. Therefore, Mida, Keneged Mida, the Umma Yisraelim, we have nothing to do with one another, they will join together, Milchem Eskleigu Magleik, to come together and form an alliance to wage war against Klal Yisrael. So Nav Pshat, the Abar Binel is telling us this, that's how we learn Pshat in the Pasuk over here. We've gone through all the nations of the world, the six nations, we come now to Yehuda and Yisrael, and now we're putting putting Perek Al, Perek Beis together, by telling us, you Yehuda and Yisrael, even though each one of you has your own problems, you join together, now I'm going to cause the nations to come together to punish you. Okay, so this is the Abar Binel. Now he comes on to say, Vili, he has his own interpretation of what the major theme of this Perek is, a little bit more. The Aminich Gedolah says, let me tell you my take on this. Ach Hashem Hashem, she'asvachem kama toivos v'heim heima kofui toiva. We've learned that Hashem has been so kind to us, and we have been so ungrateful. Amar ata shimu kol ha'mishpacha ki im einchem samim lev ala toivos ha'pratios she'zachayti l'malo haloi roi lechem losim lev al ma she'yodati eschem mikol mishpachos ha'adama asher barasi bo'ilami she'atem yitzim li l'segulu mikol ha'amim. Veheramti karnichem al kol ha'amim. Okay, you don't want to acknowledge all of the kindness that I've done to you, but at least acknowledge that your existence is only because of me. There are two levels, he's saying. There is the fact that I have allowed you to exist. I have established you as a nation. That's number one. Number two, after you've been established as a nation, I've been very kind to you. I provided you with sustenance. I provided you with good children. I provided you with prophecy. I provided you with all the good that the world has to offer. The best fruits, the orchards, the vineyards that we learned in the Pesukim. Even if you don't want to be makir toiv to me for the good, the kindness of all of the blessings that I bestowed upon you, at least acknowledge that if not for me, you would not even exist. You would not even be a nation. Open up the history books and read where you come from. Just that alone should be enough for you to behave yourself to some degree. Al-Kain, therefore, second white line, Roy she'efkot aleichem avonosechem al-asher ha'ariyosem la'asos your evil. Period. Okay, that's how that is pshat. He's breaking up the kindness of Hashem into two parts, our existence and the good things that Hashem has done. O Yoimar, another interpretation. Ein lechem l'shol lom atem makpid al kol kach aleinu. Don't be so disturbed why I'm so strict with you. Sharei kol umos ov de avodah zorahim the ein ato makpid imachem kol kach. Hashem, we see he overlooks. He lets the umois oilam do averois and nothing happens to them. Uman nishtan ninu mikol umo v'loshen shato goes olena gezeros koshes. So why then are we so punished? Again, the great danger of being in Golis. If nothing happens to them, why should we be punished? Shoni atem mikol umos. You have to remember this. You're different than the umois. Ki kol umois ein lochem chelek b'oilam ha'asid. He's adding a new dimension. That was not said before by the Malbim. He's saying a whole new dimension. That is, we're talking about Olam Haba. Okay, it's the same idea, but he's just saying in different words. Olam Haba. They do not have a chelik in Olam Haba. Ein chelik b'olam ha'asid. Now that's a mouthful to say such a thing. That's a very controversial statement. Do goyim have a chelik in Olam Haba? For us, these words really have absolutely no meaning because, like we always like to say, no one came back to tell us what's going on over there. So we have no clue. We have no clue what this means, Olam Haba. It's all mystical, theoretical. It's all emuna pshuta. There's emuna pshuta. There's an Olam Haba we have to prepare for. What is Olam Haba? A Olam of Neshama is Tchias HaMesim. Who knows? Who can even grasp even a tipa shebeyam of what these things mean? But we have emuna peshuta. There's an olam haba, an olam ho'emes. It's another world. This world is nothing more than the proizdar to something much, much bigger, much more. We can't even, the word bigger is not even the word you can use. It's something which is beyond our understanding. And the question is, what about the goyim? Will they also be part of this world? And this is a major, major machloikis among the big, big thinkers. And I think the bottom line is they do, but not like us. They do have something, but it's
the bleachers.
They have it's whatever it is. So, so what does that mean exactly? So what does that mean?
Yeah. We have an inherent share unless we do something.
You sing a mouthful. Ooh, you sing a mouthful.
Whereas they have
that's not so posh. You know, that's Christianity. You just said the theology of Christianity. A Christian is born to go to Gehenna. That's their belief. They go, you're born in this world, you're going one place. Only one place, you're going straight to Gehenna. Unless you accept upon yourself hulu v'chulu and you do whatever, then you'll go. Now, when we look at them, we know what I think the average Jew, you look at them, you're crazy. You're not going nowhere. You came into this world. Hashem did not create any creature in this world. Our hashkafa, our emuna is, Hashem did not create any creature. Any tselem elokim was not created by default to go to Gehenna. No way. Christianity is corrupt at its very core, from our perspective. You just said that. No, you just said the opposite. I don't believe that's the correct. I'm sorry. Hashem is a mative. Oilam chesed yibone.
Right, so why do we have to have an expression called chasidei umos olam?
It means they're going to get a bonus, icing on the cake. They're not going to Gehenna. If they come into this world, it's not a default they're going to Gehenna. Just don't make trouble. Don't make trouble. You're good. You're good, you'll go to the next world, and wherever you go. But you're not going to Gehenna unless you corrupt.
Actually, I wasn't even thinking in terms of Gehenna, but
they're not created to suffer. According to Christian theology, man was created to suffer.
I wasn't
man was put into this world to go straight to Gehenna unless he redeems his soul.
That's what they say.
Yes.
Yeah,
unless he redeems his soul. We as Jews look at them, you're nuts. You're totally crazy. Who brainwashed you to believe such a foolish thing? Olam chesed yibaneh. Hashem made this world to be mated, to do good to people. If Hashem put a human being in this world, a guy who knows from nothing, he's not going to Gehenna. He was put into this world. Hashem did with him chesed, gave him opportunities to do whatever he knows to do. And when he will die, whatever will be, will be. We don't know what's going to happen, but he's not going to go to Gehenna unless he wants to abuse his bechira chavshis and cause harm to people, cause harm to the world. Okay, we're no different than him in that respect. Now let us say he goes the extra step and he's a tzaddik. He's from the chassidei umo yisraelam. Will he get something equal to what we are promised to receive? That's a very big question which no one can tell us the answer. And the commentators, they are divided. They are divided if it's possible for a guy to have whatever this thing was that is called Olam Haba for a Jew, is it possible for a guy to also have the equivalent or the same? So I think the common understanding is yes, they do have something called Olam Haba, but not the same. It's not going to be the same caliber, the same league, the same experience as a Jew who is a Ben Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov, who has a Baris Milah and a Shomer Toiru Mitzvos. Not possible.
What does this say? The guy says if you extinguish the flame,
Gamhu. So what does it mean exactly? I don't know.
And ask questions. This guy could.
Yeah, the answer is yes. Even a guy. So over here, I don't think you should take him seriously. I think he's just talking over here in generalities. He says over here some very, very, very frightening words, which cannot mean that he means this literally, unless it's not like ki kol ha'umay. Right, ki kol ha'umay is the second last line. Ein lohem chelek be'olam ha'asid.
It says in the mission otherwise.
Right, so
from Belem, that means the other
from. So what does it mean then? So obviously he doesn't mean to be taken literally. Okay, yeah. It doesn't mean literally. Al yeah. Therefore the goyim, so he's saying of them very frightening. This that we find, see, this answers your question. Your question was, can it really be that the goyim HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives them? There's really a big fundamental difference in the Radak and the Mincha Gedoyla. There's the difference over here is that the Mincha Gedol over here is saying is that the reason why Hashem forgives them in this world for their sins, not because Hashem is, there is no Hashkocha Pratis. There sure is Hashkocha Pratis for the Umay Sa'ilam and this. Every little thing, if they cheat $1 on their taxes, $1, even a Pachos Mishava Pruta, Hashem is going to punish them for it. How does Hashem redeem their punishment? He takes away their Olam Haba. The reward that they would have ordinarily would have received in the next world is given to them in this world by overlooking their sins. That's an amazing thing to say. Is that they're living, the fact that we look around and we see that they're not being punished for their sins is because they're eating up in this world their Olam Haba. A Jew, Hashem does not allow a Jew to eat up his Olam Haba in this world. Therefore, Hashem has no choice but to punish us in this world. That's why Jews are suffering more in this world than the Goyim. Because Hashem will not allow us to lose out.
Are we really suffering more than the Goyim? I don't know.
Whoa.
Very nicely.
In the big picture of history, beyond a shadow of a doubt, last 2,000 years, been a shadow of a doubt. Yes, 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 yes. 10 times, our barrel wine notes, he writes, he shows 10 times in the last 2,000 years did the next generation was reduced to less than 50% of the previous generation. 10 times. 10 times it happened. Does not exist anything near this by the Ummah Sa'ilam. So there's no question Jews have been persecuted. Look at Pittsburgh. What do you have to go talk about? I mean, look what's going on in the world. Okay, Jews are persecuted no matter what. Everyone is shaken up. Okay, you. It's true, but okay. You're right. I have to.
What?
All right.
Goyim, what?
I take it back. Well, goyim. Every other day, there's a shooting in a shul, in a church, in a mall, in a mall.
It's
so fair. Okay, the goyim every day. This school, this shot up 50 children, and over here, and this every other day. You're right. So okay, well, so you have to analyze. Let's not get into that discussion now. But the point is, you ask a yachid, an individual. Listen, everyone is different. Everyone is different. I don't know how to answer your question. I hear what you're saying. I don't know. Every person, you ask a guy, did you have a good life? Did you have a good life? Do you feel that you suffered more than you deserve? Ask the average Jew, do you feel that you punished for your sins in this world? I don't know. I really don't know. You're very mixed. It's very hard to answer. Okay, but this is what he says. He says in a general rule, you have to have emunah, and as a whole, it's for sure true. That you cannot deny. You cannot deny that as a nation, Klal Yisrael has suffered infinitely more than all the umos ha'olam. Now, if that's true as a klal, it has to also be true as the prat. It has to be. Maybe not every single person can you pinpoint and show me it's true, but if this principle is true with regard to the klal, it's true with regard to the prat. And he's giving us a whole new idea. He's telling us, don't chas v'sholom say there's no such thing as midah, kineged midah, Hashem is medaktik chut hasar by a goy. The only difference is, the goy that gets away with it is at the expense of his life savings. His life savings is paying for his sins.
The Mishnah did that, because we're all put away all the mitzvahs that we do. We say that
and this world, we have to suffer to cleanse ourselves.
They get paid back.
Okay, so this concludes the mincha gedoyla. We've learned today over here a lot of yisoides. So if you recap, just very quickly, the yisoides. The first yisoid, they don't forget this yisoid. This is an awesome yisoid. The greatest danger of galus is not the influence of doing averos. The greatest danger of living in galus is to become desensitized to the principle of midah keneged midah. Because the bottom line is, the goyim are not subject to, we do not experience the midah keneged midah. And we think if they don't experience, either should we. And therefore we continue on our merry way, not realizing the consequences. Next yisoid, why taka is it that Ummah Yisrael do not experience midah keneged midah in this world? So we have what appears to be a fundamental machlokes between the Radak and the Mincha Gedolah. The Radak and the Malbim are pretty much on the same line, and that is, by the Goyim, there is no such thing. Hashem does not pay attention. Hashem just lets them get away with it because Hashem doesn't care about them. But being that Hashem loves us, we are close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is medaktik with us kechut hasar. There's a greater expectation. And then you have a different approach of the Mincha Gedolah, and that is the Umos HaOlam are not going to Olam Haba. And therefore, they got to be paid off in this world. And the way they're paid off in this world is their good deeds are mechaper for their indiscretions. Whereas Jews, our good deeds are saved and stored for the Olam HaEmes. And therefore, all we're left with are averos. And therefore, we have no choice but to experience the midah keneged midah. And therefore, do not be influenced by the goyim who seem to be very successful and nothing happens, because they're operating with a different set of rules. Okay, tomorrow we'll continue.